Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Ivakivalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. So let's go back 5,000 years on earth. This is not a story. This is not a fable. This is not mythology. This is history. 5,000 years ago on this planet, in the country of India, Krishna was at this time around 5 years old. And on this particular day, Krishna and hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys went to the forest of Vrindavan to have a picnic. And the mothers prepared very nice lunch baskets for all the sons, the cowherd boys. They all had flutes, and they were at this age, besides playing in the forest, they were also given charge of taking care of the calves. So they would play and at the same time let the calves graze, drink the water of the Yamuna. So they were going to go on a picnic. On the way, there was one demon, Agasura. He was the brother of Putana and Bakasura. And he wanted to avenge the death of his sister and brother who were killed by Krishna. So he had devised a plan. He made himself into a great big python, which the cowherd boys imagined to be a great mountain cave. But Krishna saved his cowherd friends, brought them back to life, and killed Agasura. And Agasura, the spirit soul of Agasura, merged into the body of Krishna. Then they continued on with their picnic, and Krishna found a very nice spot where the Yamuna was flowing sweetly, the flowers were giving off a nice fragrance. So Krishna said, "Here is a nice spot where we can have our picnic lunch and let the calves loose. They can graze nearby." So they began to have their picnic, but all of a sudden, the calves wandered off, being allured by other pastures. So the cowherd boys immediately cried out, "Krishna." So let's all pretend that we're cowherd boys. Let's all cry out to Krishna. Everybody, Krishna! Krishna! Very good. So by chanting the name of Krishna, they immediately transcended their fear. And Krishna is so nice, he's God. But Krishna is so nice, he told the cowherd boys, "You stay. You continue eating. I'll go get the calves." So this is why Krishna is so great. He could have said, "I am God. You are my servants. Go get the..." No. He's not vindictive God. He's not that kind of a God. He's sweet. He's kind. And is he not beautiful? Doesn't Krishna look beautiful today? But I think Rukmini looks a little more beautiful. There's a competition going on. So Krishna said, "You stay. I'll get the calves." But when Krishna looked for the calves, he couldn't find them. And when he came back to report to the cowherd boys, they were also gone. And Krishna immediately detected, this must be the work of Lord Brahma. And it was indeed Lord Brahma. He had stolen all the cowherd boys and calves and put them away in a cave asleep. So Krishna was thinking, how I can return home without the cowherd boys and calves? The mothers will be so upset and the cows will be so distraught. So Krishna said, okay. He expanded himself. And he expanded himself to become exact, we use the word clone, exact replica of each cowherd boy and calf down to the minutest detail so that the mothers and cows wouldn't know because the original ones were asleep in a cave. For 1 year, Krishna expanded himself as the cowherd boys and calves, but something peculiar took place. The mothers and the cows didn't know any different because they looked exactly like. But when the mothers and the cows dealt with these quote-unquote children and calves, they displayed more love and affection. And after 1 year, Lord Balaram, now he wasn't there on the original day of the picnic because he was home getting ready for his birthday party. So he didn't know what was going on. That's peculiar. He's God. Balaram, so that means if Krishna doesn't want Balaram to know something, there he is. That's Krishna. So Balaram didn't know what was going on for one whole year. Until one day Balaram saw something and he said, Krishna, why are these cows exhibiting extraordinary affection? And why are the cowherd men crying to see their sons in the middle of the day? Balaram could figure it out. And Krishna said, yes, I have been expanding myself for 1 year. So it was 1 year on earth, but for Lord Brahma, it was a nanosecond because his time scale is different than ours. So Brahma, when he stole the cows and calves, after a second, he said, I don't know if this is a good idea. So he went back, and when he went back, he saw that there was Krishna and all the cowherd boys. And Brahma was thinking, I thought I put my car keys there. He was bewildered because he knows that he just put the cowherd boys and calves asleep in a cave. But when he came back to the picnic spot, there they were again. Then all of a sudden, all the cowherd boys and calves turned into Vishnu forms. Of course, this is not Vishnu, but that's the Vishnu form. All the cowherd boys and calves turned into Narayan forms because Krishna's expansions are Narayan. And not only that, these Narayans were being worshipped by other Lord Brahmas and Lord Shivas and all kinds of living entities. And Brahma was like, whoa. He was completely stupefied, amazed, bewildered. And then in a split second, the whole thing disappeared. And there was Krishna. So Brahma, he realized, whoops, I just committed a boo-boo. This is my Lord and Master. I tried to play mischief for fun, but my Lord has shown me who's the boss. So Krishna was standing by a tree, and Brahma, he has a golden body with four heads, and he went dandavat to Krishna. He fell like a golden rod, and with his four heads, he was crying, and he was bathing Krishna's feet with his tears. And then he offered beautiful prayers, a stream of prayers. And I have studied these prayers, and they can be divided into different sections. We're going to study one section. So the first section of his prayers, he glorifies the beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna's form is transcendentally beautiful. It is the most beautiful form, so beautiful that even Krishna becomes attracted seeing his own form. No, he's not a narcissist. But what to do? There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna's form. In the same way, when Krishna is a householder with only 16,108 wives, gets up every morning, he does meditation But he has to meditate on himself because he's the absolute truth. What's he going to do? Do you want Krishna to meditate on Maya? Meditation means meditation on the absolute truth. He's all three. He's Brahman, he's Paramatma, he's Bhagavan. Take your pick. Right? If you're going to meditate on the absolute truth, it's either Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So we can't expect Krishna to meditate on Kobe Bryant. He's going to meditate on himself. But don't imitate. That's the key. People will read that and say, see, Krishna meditated on himself. So hum. Nah. Krishna was meditating on the absolute truth. Therefore, we meditate on Radha Krishna by chanting the Maha Mantra. Everybody. So the first set of prayers, Brahma glorifies the beautiful form of Krishna. Then, the section that we're going to study tonight, there are six verses where Lord Brahma gives a synopsis of how to become self-realized. Who wants to become self-realized? So you want to listen when we start. But this is the preamble to the Constitution. All right, then the next set of prayers is Brahma's self-understanding. He knows who he is in relationship to Krishna. He's self-realized. Then the next set of prayers, Brahma helps us to understand the universe in a transcendental scientific way. Then the next set of prayers, how to cross over the illusory energy, Maya, how to actually cross over. Then he glorifies the residents of Vrindavan. So much so that Brahma says, Krishna, in my next birth, I don't want to be Brahma. What's the use? But let me be a clump of grass in Vrindavan. No. Not even outside of Vrindavan. I just want to be a clump of grass so that when your pure devotees travel, I'll get the dust of their feet. Lord Brahma ki jai. Such nice. That's his desire. He glorifies in several prayers how great are the residents of Vrindavan. And then the prayers end with Brahma's conclusions. And basically Brahma's conclusion is, Brahma says, well, I'm Lord Brahma because supposedly I'm the most intelligent person in the universe. That's one of the qualifications of Brahma. You can't be a Lord Brahma and be a dummy. To be a Lord Brahma, you have to... How many people here are engineers? Don't get puffed up. Engineers, you got to have a brain. Okay? So Brahma is the original engineer, and he's the most intelligent in the universe. He's got his degree, the four heads. But he says, even though I'm considered the most intelligent man in the universe, I don't know anything about Krishna. So if Brahma says like that, who am I? Who are any of us to say, oh, I know everything about Krishna. I know him. No, Brahma says, as far as I'm concerned, I don't understand anything. And then Krishna blesses Brahma, accepts his prayers, and at the end, Brahma says, okay, I'm leaving now. I'm sorry, I'm leaving now with your permission. And Krishna says, okay. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Yeah. So now let's study tonight's section, the process for realizing God. So are you ready? No, not yes. Hari Bol. Who said Hari Bol? Everyone say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sit properly. Prabhupada used to say that. All right. Lord Brahma prays. Those who even while remaining situated in their established social positions, and they throw away the speculative process and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone else in these three worlds. So this first one is just chock full of nuggets of nectar. So let's break it down. Okay? So the first thing, you don't have to change your position. The Mayavad Shankaracharya position is, oh, you want to make spiritual advancement? You're a householder? Go back. First take sannyas. According to Shankaracharya, if you're a householder, you're not making any spiritual advancement. First, you got to take sannyas. Brahma, and by the way, we are in the Brahma Sampradaya. So our Sampradaya says, no. Remain in whatever social position. Man, woman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahmana, Shudra, what? Remain. But you have to throw something away. The speculative process. Speculative process is, I don't need anything. I'll figure it out on my own. That's the speculative process. I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent. I can figure it out on my own. That's the speculative process. So Brahma says, you know, throw that away. Flush it. Now, three things. Body, mind, and words. That's sannyas. Sannyas is, we're called tridandi sannyasis. Those in Gaudiya Brahma's Sampradaya, they take tridandi sannyas. Those three rods mean, I'm going to serve Krishna with my body, with my mind, and with my words. That's sannyas. You give full service to Krishna with all of this. So Brahma is saying, you can be a sannyasi and remain in your position. All you gotta do is serve Krishna with your body, with your mind, and your words. Who's willing to do that? Then you're a sannyas. I applaud you. Very good. And offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is chock full of descriptions of Krishna's personality and his activities, especially 10th canto. And my favorite book, Krishna book. How many people have Krishna book at home? How many are reading it? Very good. Jai Jai. Then you're fulfilling Lord Brahma's instruction. Dedicating their lives to these narrations. So that means you become a preacher. When you dedicate your life to these descriptions, that means you sell it. You become Krishna's salesman. You pitch Krishna to whoever you meet, which are vibrated by you personally or by your pure devotees. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna personally, and Bhagavatam is spoken about Krishna. Now he says, if you can do all this, one of Krishna's names, Ajita. Everyone say, Ajita. Unconquerable. And if you read that Krishna book, you'll see at the end, 90 chapters. How many times did Krishna lose? Undefeated. You'll read chapter after chapter. Demon comes up, bam, Krishna knocks it out of the park. Right from the beginning, he's not even a month old, Putana comes. Take care of that. Then another demon, boom. Demon after demon after demon after demigod. No matter who, Krishna comes out unconquerable. Therefore, Ajita, everyone say. So Brahma says, you can conquer the unconquerable by the process he just gave you. Make it simple. Do you want to conquer the unconquerable? Chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. One down, five to go. Are you still with me? Haribo. Jai. Thank you. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. Yeah, there are many paths. But Brahma is saying devotional service, that's bhakti, is the best path. So Vasu was mentioning about Vrindavan. And there's a famous street, Bhakti Vedanta Marg. Marg means path or street, right? That was named after Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't always called that. But because of Prabhupada's preaching, they named it Bhakti Vedanta Marg. All of us should be on Bhakti Vedanta Marg, meaning all of us should be on the path of bhakti. Brahma is saying, devotional service is the best path. If someone gives up that path and engages in speculative knowledge, all you will get is trouble. Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 12. Klesho adhikataras tesham. You want to give up the path of bhakti? How many people want more trouble in their lives? Anybody? How many people want more disease? How many people want less paycheck? How many people want more taxes? Right. So who wants trouble? Take the easy path. Bhakti Vedanta Marg. So Brahma gives an analogy. Giving up the path of bhakti and taking to impersonal or speculative is like trying to get wheat out of that which was already husked. Some of you may know, you husk the wheat, you get the real thing. But how much wheat can you get at, or my favorite one, sugarcane juice. When I go to Panama, there's one place my friend and I go, they sell sugarcane juice. So you can see the big, big stalk of sugarcane, and they rush it, ram it through the machine. They get all the juice. Now, if you again take that same one, how much are you going to get? Maybe there's one drop left. But all the juice has been taken out. So the same way, you try any other path but bhakti, simply trouble, you're not going to get anything. Take the bhakti path and it'll be full. Let's chant, everybody. Two down. See, that was quick. O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service. So what kind of yogis are they called? Bhakti yogis, exactly. How many of you see yourself as a bhakti yogi? You all are bhakti yogis. Don't worry, you're all bhakti yogis. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Where do you see us doing this? You certainly didn't see the kirtan leader stop all of a sudden. Okay, let's all do om. Right? He got more and more ecstatic. Right? That's the bhakti path. All right, let's go. Many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. Same thing Krishna says in 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudya. All of us are like Arjuna. Arjuna had to fight the Kauravas. We have to fight Maya. We have to fight because Maya, she's not nice. She's coming with her punches. She's attacking. The material energy is alluring, trying to distract you. And the devil is trying to tell you, no, you don't want to go to temple. You want to watch TV. Get behind me, Satan, and don't push. So you have to say no. And you have to fight. So Arjuna had to fight the Kauravas. We have to fight ignorance, gross materialism, atheism. You have to fight it. You have to stay strong. That's why Krishna said, yes, you fight, and at the same time, remember me. That's why we stress so much. Chant Hare Krishna, so that you'll have the strength to fight. So everyone chant now and fight. Come on. Perfected by the processes of hearing and chanting about you. Same thing Lord Chaitanya stresses. Lord Chaitanya stresses, hear and chant about Krishna as much as you can. Kirtaniya sada. Sada doesn't mean once a week on Sunday. Sada means always. Like when Swabhas asked me, 24/7, 365, 108. Because I want to live to be 108. By the way, will you bless me for that? But you have to add a proviso. Say to me, yes, we'll bless you to be 108, provided you go on preaching. So will you bless me? Then bless me by loudly chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. So since you bless me, after the lecture, I'll bless you. Anyone who wants a blessing, you can come up. I'll give it since you bless me. Thank you very much. So they came to understand you, O infallible one. So that name of Krishna is Achyuta. Everyone say.
Achyuta.
That means he never makes a mistake. He's infallible. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I'm Purushottama. Everyone say.
Purushottama.
He says that in this existence, there are people who are fallible. They're in the material world. Hey, we're in the material world. We make mistakes. We even say, to err is human. All right, no problem. And Krishna says, in the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. So when we go to the spiritual world, you'll be infallible. But then Krishna says, but I am beyond both. Krishna says in chapter 15, therefore I am known as Purushottama. Everyone say.
Purushottama.
Or hear the other word, Achyuta. Everyone say. So whenever you sneeze, Achyut! This way you make spiritual advancement even while you're sneezing. Because I don't think you're going to say, Purushot. Achyuta is easier. They easily understand you, O Lord, surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. Krishna's supreme abode is explained in the Brahma Sanhita. Krishna gives some idea of it in Bhagavad Gita. There are no electric bills in Krishna's abode. I don't know about you, but have you noticed how the electric bill is jacking up those rascals? Right? But no electric bill in Goloka Vrindavan. Free energy. So let's go. Let's all go. Non-devotees cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to him. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because in chapter 12, Arjuna says, Krishna, what's better? Should I worship you in the impersonal way or the personal way? Arjuna asked that question. And Krishna said, well, in my opinion, you should worship my personal form. But he says, but if you still want to worship me in the impersonal way, it's troublesome. But exactly what Brahma says here, Krishna says the same thing. You've got to do all these processes. And it's not easy. Very, very few, hardly anyone can do it. And it takes a long, long, long time. Whereas the bhakti path is like the elevator. How many people have been? Well, they used to have the Twin Towers. The Empire State Building, right? So how many stories is Empire State Building? 108? I wonder where they got that from. So it should be called the Astotrasata Building. So I know there's some people, they do a thing, they run up. Now, which one are you going to do? Are you going to run up the stairs or take the elevator? I know there's going to be that. Prabhu, I'm going to run it. I don't know about you, but in my condition, I'm taking the elevator. When I went to, a couple of years ago, I went with Mr. Sony to the, I was in Kuala Lumpur. And they have a big, big building like that. And the elevator is very fast. Very, very fast, and it's one of the tallest, fifth tallest building in the world. So the bhakti path is the super elevator. You can get to the top quickly. If you want to go some other way, okay, step by step by step, you may not make it. Take the elevator. And especially Lord Chaitanya has given you the super elevator. Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'll make it so easy for you. Just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What could be easier? Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth. This is Brahma. Or the particles of snow. I mean, who would be so stupid? Yeah, I want to count the particles of snow, man. That's a real achievement. Or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that's another name of Krishna. Ananta. Everyone say.
Ananta.
You'll never live long enough to count Krishna's qualities. It's impossible. Even Krishna, if he sits down and meditates, okay, let me think about myself. After he gets to the end of understanding, all of a sudden he's increased. Uh-oh. There's more to study. There's no end. That's why it's called Ananta. One more time.
Ananta.
And you know what? This is why you want to go to the spiritual world. Sometimes you hear people say, I don't want to go to heaven, be in the clouds all day. What am I going to do? Play a harp? But they don't know. Krishna is unlimited. You're not going to be bored. It's not that, oh, every day I'm going to be with Krishna. No, it's going to be a thrill at every moment. The real party is going on right now in the spiritual world. It increases and increases and increases. Otherwise, okay, let's do a. How many people here have been chanting the Maha Mantra for more than 10 years, every day, without fail? Silvas, come on. I need some help here, boss. So, as I tell the college students sometimes, you think I'm a fool? huh? That I'm going to spend 2-3 hours every day, like my father thinks. What are you mumbling? I'm that stupid that I'm going to spend 2-3 hours, Hare Krishna, and not get something from it? Don't insult me, man. Okay, I graduated valedictorian of my high school. I beat out Bill O'Reilly. He went to the same high school. You know that demon, that TV guy, that Republican. I mean, we went to the same high school. I graduated valedictorian, not because I was smart. You know how I became valedictorian? By my speaking. They once had a competition to give a lecture. So I said, oh, this is great. It was my first lecture. So what did I open up with? You are all damned! And I got a standing ovation. The class loved me. So the next year they voted me valedictorian just because they wanted to see what I would say at graduation. Anyway, I'm not a fool. I'm not going to waste 2-3 hours every day chanting the same thing and not get something from it. This is what's so scary about Krishna consciousness. It's real. It works. If you had seen me 35 years ago, you would go, what's that monkey? I look like a monkey. Some of you may say you still look like, I go, no problem. No problem. But the fact of the matter is this Hare Krishna mantra works. Otherwise, people like Swabhas, Archita, Dwarkadi, so many of you, you're not going to dedicate yourself to chanting every day, day in and day out, hour after hour, unless you're getting something better than anything else. Just like I come from a meat-eating family, right? Trust me, if prasad was not better, there's no way I'd be a devotee. But once you have that first samosa, goodbye burgers. Prasad is so powerful. So everything about Krishna consciousness is so powerful. You get the higher taste and you don't come down. As they said in the early days of ISKCON, stay high forever. Oh, I like that one. That got me on that one. Stay high forever and it doesn't cost anything? Oh, that's for me. That's my religion. Yeah. And it works. It's true. We do the Bhagavad Gita Yajna. I promised you, right? Those of you who attended. I told you at the beginning, stay with it and by the end you'll be floating. Was I true? Yes, at the end of that Bhagavad Gita, we were ecstatic. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All right, final prayer. And some of you are thinking, Jai. And this one is very significant. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon them, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his or her past misdeeds and offering respectful obeisances with one's heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become their rightful claim. And the Sanskrit word dayabak is used. Dayabak means inheritance. Some of you may have already experienced this. You get an inheritance, right? You have the inherent right to enter the kingdom of God. It's yours for the taking. The super lotto. You have the ability to inherit the kingdom of God. Who wants to go? I hope so. So, all you got to do, earnestly wait, be patient. Can you do that? Yes. All right, so only some of you can. All right, earnestly wait for Krishna to bestow his causeless mercy. Causeless means you can't twist Krishna's arm. Hey, Krishna, I did this, and I gave to ISKCON $6 million, you know, and I'm a life member, Krishna. You owe me. No, sorry. Can't do like that. So you have to earnestly wait for Krishna's causeless. Krishna don't owe nothing to nobody. He's got Radharani. He's quite content. Let's look at the altar. Does it look like Krishna's in any kind of anxiety? He's got that flute. He's got Radharani. He is a happy camper. But he will give his causeless mercy. We just have to be earnestly patient. So that's the hardest one. Earnestly patient. And then you have to tolerate the bad things that are inevitably going to come. Now, Brahma, in another book of his, the Brahma Sanghita, says, for devotees, that karma is shrunk down like this. It's the all-time bailout program. If you surrender to Krishna, our karma, each and every, our karma is so great. But when you surrender to Krishna, the bill is shrunk down. And all the Prabhupada used to say, by your karma, you should have got your head chopped off. Instead, when you're shaving, oop, ah, right? By your karma, you should have got your toe cut off. Instead, somebody steps on your toe in kirtan. You get the idea? Everything is shrunk down, all the bad stuff. It's just shrunk. You get what is called a token love tap from Krishna. So be patient and tolerate Krishna's love taps. When things go bad, just take it as, oh, this is Krishna's love tap. Don't get excited. Don't get nervous. Don't switch. I don't know about Krishna, man. You know, I don't know. I think I'm going to worship somebody else. I remember many, many years ago, one Indian man, he was so mad at me. I did something, I don't know, didn't give him what he wanted. So right outside he said, and next time if I don't get what I want, I'm going to become a Christian. I said, that was going to scare me. Oh. You got to stick with Krishna through thick and thin. Sometimes you're going to get a little love tap. Just, that's how you see it. Whatever is happening, it's just a love tap. And then continue to offer Krishna's with your heart, because that's what Krishna's looking for. From the heart, words, prayers, service. If you can do that, you will enter the kingdom of God. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Then chant the Maha Mantra one more time.
Amen.
And in the words of Bhakta Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say about that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now comes the hard part. Take prasadam. Hari Bol, anyone who would like to contact me for any reason, please take one of my cards. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.